All right, if you have your Bibles with me, if you would, turn to the book of Exodus. Don't worry, ladies, I'll be back on the home before too long. Amen? Amen. Got one amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But I'll be back on the home and dealing with the ladies and God's pattern for the home and His pattern for the wives and the mothers. And we'll be back on that soon. But tonight, I just, that we started Sunday on I Am That I Am. And so we kind of looked at the introduction to the message this past Sunday, and I think I'm going to preach a series on I Am and look through here. And man, just want to brag some. He's been good to us, and everything we have is because of Him, and everything we are is because of Him. And so I just want to look at that for a few weeks, and if it bores you, I'm sorry, but I want to brag on my Lord and Savior. Amen. He is everything. He is the I Am. And we're going to look at that through the Old Testament for a little bit this morning. And as we go through the message, we'll look at the I Ams of the New Testament. He is the I Am. All right, Exodus chapter number 3. And if you would, say amen if you found your place. I hope you're saying amen at home and got your Bibles open and sitting up, paying attention to the Word of God. Exodus chapter 3. And I want you to notice one thing before I get down to the main text here. How many times Moses makes the statements "I" for himself? He says that about himself. He said in verse number 1 of chapter 4, he says, "They will not believe me." And we're gonna go back there in just a second. In chapter 4 and verse number 10. He says, "I am not eloquent." He's making these statements about himself. I am not this, and I am not. He says, "They will not believe me. I am not eloquent. I will," and all these things that he has a problem with. "I am slow of speech," in verse number 10 as well. And all these excuses that he come up with. But I want you to realize, and I said this Sunday, that we can do nothing for God without God. We can try to have a man-made machine, and that's what a lot of churches are. They're man-made machines with preachers that maybe their mother called them and their dad funded their education, but that's as far as it goes. And they're pastoring these big machines of churches and their businesses and their well-oiled machines. But I'm going to tell you that the church that God founded is not an American institution. It's not an American company. It's not a business. Amen. It's God's business, but it's not man's business. But a lot of churches are being run like a machine. They say, "I do this and we do that." And I'm telling you, anything that's done for God from White Oak Independent Baptist Church is done from God. It's nothing that we can do. The missionaries that we support, and as we look at the wall, our wall's full of missionary letters. And man, there's several on there. We don't support any missionaries for under $100 a month. And we've got some that we support for a couple hundred dollars a month. And you know what that is? That's God, because we have a small church. But God can. And God just wants to, give through us. He wants to use us for His glory and His honor. But over and over again, Moses made the statements, "They will not believe me. I am not eloquent. I am slow of speech." Those are all the I Ams that we are. None of us are eloquent enough for God. None of us have a good enough tongue for God. Amen. We were joking about a certain church member's a criminal record a minute ago. Amen. And that individual said, "I do not have a criminal record, but I do have a sin record." And amen, I do too. I've got a sin record that disqualifies me from doing anything for God. I've got a sin record that disqualifies me from standing up here. It disqualifies me from heaven. It disqualifies me to do anything for God. But I've got a Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ who shed His blood on the cross of Calvary and took my place. And because of that, because of Him, I can be qualified. But it's only because of Him, because my sin record disqualifies me. Your sin record disqualifies you. Amen. We get up here and We try to make a joyful noise singing, and you say, y'all aren't very good singers, or you're not a very good... We know all that. We're just trying to do something for God, amen? And there's some that are professional, and they know how to do it, but I'd rather have just a few folks that love God and God touches than have a huge church that's a machine that God has nothing to do with. And Moses, over and over again, I am this and I'm not that, and all these excuses. And God told him, I know I made you. I know that you can't do those things. I understand. He's like, I'm the one that made you. I'm the one that formed your mouth. I'm the one that made you. I understand those things. Look with me there in verse number 13 of Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus chapter 13. Or verse chapter 3 and verse number 13. And by the way, I have not gone liberal tonight. I don't have a tie that matches this shirt. And my wife cares about my presence, and I'm thankful for that. She won't let me go in any color other than something that matches. But you can't find a solid tie anywhere. I'm going to have to order one from Egypt or somewhere. I don't know. Because I can't find a solid tie. So I need to find some. And then you can't just have any solid tie because I'm kind of round, so it's got to be a long tie. And so you pray for me about that, amen? But I don't have a tie on tonight. I'm not going liberal. And I also want to stop and say, Lord, thank you for the beautiful weather. Man, it's cool. It's not hot. I thank God for it. And he just deserves all the glory, amen? Somebody the other day said, the devil must have tried to rain y'all out. I said, I ain't giving the devil credit for nothing. I'm just thanking God he sent rain. I'm not giving the devil credit for that. The devil didn't rain us out, amen? We had church. I want to thank God for the rain Sunday. I'm not giving him credit for nothing. I don't care if he did it. He ain't getting credit. Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, here we go again, when I come. Moses continually, like a lot of us, we think that it's up to us to do something. It's not. It's not up to us. He said, God, whenever I come before him, he's worried about himself. Like many people are today. Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? In verse 14, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Man, what a great statement in the Bible where God calls himself the I Am. And whatever he is, whatever he needs to be for us, that's exactly what he is. And we looked at several things. I did a very poor job of trying to read that message, That's My King. But M.S. Lockridge preached that famous message, That's My King, talking about all the things that God is. And we talked past Sunday with some of the members about all the names of Christ, and man, you can go on and on and on about who he is. He is everything, amen? He is the beginning and the end. He's the truth, and he's all those things. The Bible tells us that he is. But God answers and says, I, in verse chapter 4, we're not going to go back through it again, but he said, I am that I am. He told him that in chapter 3. In chapter 4, Moses, even knowing that, begins to make excuses. Like a lot of people do, they make excuses. I'm not good enough, and I'm not popular enough, and I'm too shy, and I can't speak. And Moses begins to make all those things. And every time he makes an excuse, God said, reminds him, I am that I am. He says in chapter 10, or chapter 4, verse 10, I'm not eloquent. God answered in verse 11 and 12. He said, I will be thy mouth, and I will teach thou what thou shalt say. In chapter 4, verse 10 as well, he said, I'm slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And God told him in chapter 4, verse 14 through 16, he said, I know that your brother can speak well. He shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth. He continued to make excuses, but I'm telling you today, God can take care of any excuse that we have. Amen. You say, what do we do? You stop making excuses and just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, here am I, send me. Amen. And so God began to do a great work in Moses' life, and God used Moses in a mighty way. Man, you go back and we read the story of the Exodus and what God did with Moses. Man, that boy that just wasn't supposed to make it. Amen. Moses wasn't supposed to make it. Moses was supposed to die with all the other boys, with all the other children, all the other boys, and the Hebrew boys. He was supposed to die. He was never supposed to make it. He got put in a river and could have drowned to death or who knows what. And God had his hand on him and a purpose for him. And God has a purpose for you. God's got a plan for you. You say, well, how do I get to that plan? Well, you've got to get out of the way. Amen. Moses had to get out of his own way and let God do something. But there's many people today, they don't do that. But I want to look at this thing I am for just a few minutes. And somebody said something about buying everybody ice cream at Jack's tonight. So we appreciate that, Brother Bowen. And we're going to go ahead and get moving here. Isaiah chapter 43, if you would. Isaiah chapter 43. And your Bibles turn quickly so we can preach quickly. Amen. That moose tracks is calling. Isaiah chapter number 43. I think I hear the bellowing down the road. Isaiah chapter number 43. Look with me. I just want to look at a few of the I am statements of the Old Testament. We're going to go through the New Testament and look at what Jesus Christ said of himself. The I ams of the New Testament as we go through the series. But I want to say first of all tonight, and it might take two messages to get through this as well, but the I am and the last. He was the first and the last. So the one that created the heaven and earth, the one that was the first and the last, he's the one that is in control here, not us. Amen. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10, if you say amen. The Bible says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that, what does it say? I am. He said, understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. He's trying to tell us that he is the I am. There is no other. There's no other God. There's no other gods. Amen. There's no other being. He is the first and the last. There's been many gods that have tried to take his place. And people in their own ability have tried to make themselves gods or make of themselves gods. But I'm telling you, there's nothing that's made. Every graven image that's ever been made had to be made of something that God made. They can't make anything without something that God made. All the people that say there is no God, and they try to form life in a test tube or something, they cannot make life or create artificial life without something that God made. Well, how do you fix that? Amen? That's a dilemma, is it not? Some of these hospitals and universities and things, they're trying to experiment with making it. They want to be able to create life. They want to be like God. They can't do anything without using something that God made. Man, that's a great dilemma, isn't it? We want to prove there's no God, so we're going to make something. Well, we have to use something that God made in order to make this. Amen, that's a problem. I just believe in the beginning God. Amen, that's what my Bible says. I believe it. Isaiah 46, verse 9. Just turn over a couple chapters. I hope this is okay tonight. That's all I've been thinking about. I couldn't. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9. The I am was the first and last. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9. The Bible says, remember the former things of old, for I am God. And there is none else. I am God, and there's none like me. Amen. He says it twice there. He said, I am God, and there's none else. Hey, nobody else matters tonight. I appreciate our president, and I thank God for our president. Amen. I appreciate his leadership, and I appreciate what God's done there, and I appreciate some of the men and things that God. But if it was not for God, we'd have absolutely nothing tonight. He says, there is none else. You can't do it without him. You can't raise a family without him. You can't raise or have a church that does anything without him. It can't be done. He said, I am God. There is none else. So why do we even try to put anything else in his place? But people all the time, do they not? They try to make themselves gods. How many times have you seen that phrase in the Bible, y'all that are following the Bible reading plan, or those that might be reading through their Bible, that they make themselves gods? I mean, how many kings did that? Man, we had some kings in the Bible that they loved God, but they had a bunch of wives that served other gods. And so they made them gods for them, and they made them temples, and everybody's trying to create their own god. We live in a world today where people believe their god. They believe their god. They believe they can change the way that God made them. They believe that they can change how they were born and all these things because they believe their god. They're making themselves god. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, the I Am is the only God. He said himself, there is none else. Not only did he say there is none else, he said there's none like me. Amen. There's none that are like me. And I'm thankful tonight that I know the I Am. Amen. I am the I Am. In Genesis 1:1, I already said it, in the beginning, God. Amen. Enough said. I don't question creation. A matter of fact, when I see creation and I see the stars, I was thinking of the song the other day, How Great Thou Art. When I consider the works of thy fingertips, hey, when I consider all the things, how can you say there is no God? Because when I see it, there's no way man can come up with that. And there's been some people that have taken some beautiful photographs. There's been people that have painted beautiful paintings. We have some painters in our church that paint beautiful paintings. Amen. And you can have a picture and a painting of a beautiful scenery, but nothing quite replaces the paintbrush God used. Nothing quite replaces the view that God gives. Amen. You can overlook the Grand Canyon. I've never done it. My wife has. You can overlook Niagara Falls, and I've not done that either. My wife has. But I've been to Israel. Amen. Overlooked the what was it called? The Valley of Sin. What was it? The Valley of Sin? No, what's it called? The Wilderness of Sin. There you go. The Wilderness of Sin. And so I've stood there and overlooked that thing, and I took pictures of it. And I get home and I say, look at the picture of this thing. And they're like, that's sand. That's just a bunch of sand. Amen. And they might say, oh, that's pretty. But they're not feeling the same thing that I felt when I stood there and when I looked across that thing. Amen. The picture's nice. The paintings are nice. But I'm telling you, you cannot duplicate what God's done. You can't replace it. How many times have you seen something and you took a picture and then got home and say, man, I wish the pictures do not do it justice. The picture's pretty, but it doesn't do it justice. I took a picture today of a magnolia leaf. Just one bloom of a magnolia tree. I said, man, that is beautiful. There were some other guys who worked for me, and they were like, what is this guy doing? He's going soft on us. It was a beautiful. You know what I've been thinking about? I've been thinking about God. This last week, I've been thinking about him. You say, you don't think about him all the time? Not like I should. But I've been thinking about him in light of the message, in light of what God's laid on my heart. And I've been looking at the stars and looking at the clouds, and I've been looking at leaves and looking at flowers and blooms and roses and things and looking at all these different things and saying, wow, what a God. And when he said, there's none like me, I believe it. Amen. In the beginning, God created. Pictures and paintings are beautiful things, and they are. Man, they are, but nothing compares to actually looking at what God did. And they try to make cameras, and they are. There's some nice ones. But I'm telling you, nothing replaces what God did. Nothing can do, and man cannot do that. They can't come up with that. Amen. You say, well, man, that these pictures and paintings, man did that. Again, they could not do it without something that God made. Everything that's done is with something he made. There's nobody like him. He's the only one, and no one is going to outlive him. Amen. Nobody's going to outsmart him. Nobody's going to outlive him. Last place we'll turn for tonight, and I'm gonna continue the message Sunday morning, Lord willing. Turn to Isaiah chapter 44. You're right there in Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah chapter 44. That moose is bellowing down the road. It's getting louder. Isaiah. The person that said, or Brother Bowen said it's an 18-wheeler. That ain't no moose. He ain't paying for it. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse number 24. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 24. See, y'all wish you came to church tonight, don't you? Amen. Getting some ice cream. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 24. Look what the Bible says here. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. What does it say? I am the Lord that maketh what? All things. He made it all. That stretcheth forth the heaven alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. He said, I'm God, I formed you, and I made all things. People today that want to say that nobody loves them or nobody cares, I'm telling you, God does. God cares. He does love. And He created you. And He loves you so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross for your sins. We're not good enough for that. Amen. Like Moses, God, I'm not eloquent enough. God, my sin. God, my problems. And God said, I know, but I am. And He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and to shed His precious, perfect blood on the cross of Calvary so that He could save you and I, so that He could take a sin-stained life and make it white as snow with the precious blood of the Lamb. He said, Isaiah, I formed you. I made you in the womb. And just so you know how important that is, I made everything. I created it all by myself. Now, Isaiah, do you think I can't help you? I made everything. Sometimes people get in a situation and they said, I don't know if God can get me out of this one. God made everything. Amen? God sends somebody by your way to give you a wake-up call and say, hey, you need to stop doing what you're doing. Leave me alone. I'm trying to pray that God will help me. God said, hey, I made you. I know how to help you. Amen? You go by today and tell somebody, hey, I'm praying for you, and I need to talk to you about this, and they get mad at you. The whole time saying, I'm praying about it. I'm praying about it. And God says, I'm here to help you. He is the I am. Do you think there's anything that God can't handle? No. He is the I am. Amen? And you say, Brother Andrew, you're repeating yourself a lot. Well, I'm going to preach on I am for several weeks, so there's going to be a lot of repetition on He is the I am. Amen. Whatever it is that you need Him to be, when I say need, I'm not talking about want. Amen. Sometimes God's not going to give you your wants because He knows that you don't need them. Whatever it is that you need, God can be that for you. You know, there's times where you're laid up in a hospital bed and you just need a comforter or you need a great physician. And then that same person a month later can be somewhere and be going through heartbreak and just needs the peace of God. And the same great physician can be that peace. Amen. I had a man the other day that was talking to me about doing some side work. He said, I want somebody that can plumb, carpenter, electrical work, sheetrock, that they can do all those things. And I said, that's not me. I said, I can do electrical work, and that's it. They said, well, I need somebody that can do it all. I said, well, good luck. Amen. I know people that can do it all, but, man, it's what do they call it? What's the saying they talk about? They're the master of none. How does that go? The jack of all trades, but master of none. Amen. And I can't do any of that stuff. I said, I can do, if you want me to do electrical work, I can do electrical. That's it. Now, there's some people that can do that, and thank God for them. We got some folks in our church that are that way. I'm not one. I can do one thing. Amen. But then you wouldn't dare go to a doctor's office and ask them to work on your car and to work on your heart at the same time, would you? Amen. And while you're doing it, would they help you with your finances? I don't think anybody would do that. That doctor over there said, hey, get that flywheel off there. I'm going to come over in a second. Let me get this heart out first and see if we can get it pumping again. Amen. We wouldn't do that, but guess what? God can be there with whatever we need. You say, I can't do it. There's a lot of people that have jobs right now, and they're doing things that they never were qualified for. But guess what? God gave them wisdom. Read through the Old Testament and see how God didn't give those folks wisdom. King Uzziah, the Bible said that he made harbingers and he made these great war machines. And how did he do it? God gave him the wisdom to do it. He made all these things to shoot arrows and do all those things. God gave him wisdom for it. God gave Moses wisdom. And he can do that for you too. He can do that for me. Amen? Again, I hope this isn't bore you at all, because this is what I'm going to be preaching on for a few weeks. And if not, just stay home. You're home anyway. Amen? Thank God for being so good to us. He is the I am that I am. And I'm thankful for it. And I understand some people still might need to be at home. I understand. I mean, you do what you feel like God wants you to do and what's safe for you. I understand that. Nothing replaces being at church. It doesn't. Amen? It doesn't. I like feeling the Holy Spirit kind of blow through a little bit. I can't wait to get back into church so we can trap him in the walls so he bounces off the walls. Because here he kind of goes through and moves around. But God's good, isn't he? And I'm thankful for my church. Thankful for what God's done for us. All right. Come pray for us.